All right. A little bit more teamwork. Going to try and finish a little bit early tonight. There's enough content to stay here comfortably till 7 o'clock.
Yeah,
and I don't want to. So I'll try and start wrapping up around just after 4 o'clock if I can, begin to wind down. And you'll find there's lots more material in here. But as I did say today, it's the product and the pricing I want to get right, and the rest is in the workbook, and you can really work it back at that base. There are about 11 pages of resource and appendix. You can refer to examples. You can refer all that to that all back at the office. A couple of things on segmentation. There's nothing wrong. There's always something.
Sorry.
There's nothing wrong with, we're just collecting cakes in here, aren't we? There's nothing wrong with having an ideal part of your service, the core service, the main service where you really want the bulk of your clients, bearing in mind that each of you can only handle so many clients. And I have met advisors, certainly this year, that have quite upset me in that they are quite upset. And they're quite upset because they're very good at what they're doing, and they're killing themselves because they kept thinking they could keep piling on new clients, and they've got to a stage where they're choking themselves to death, and they're working Saturdays and some Sundays, and they're just miserable. And they're not sales junkies either. They just are so good they keep attracting attention, they keep attracting quality clients. And they hadn't worked out how many can I handle? How many can I handle giving this service? That's why I'm saying, Joel and Fred, going back to your points, you need to work out what you can really handle, not what you want, or the fact that it's a big ego trip getting everybody into your top service, as you were talking about there, Kate, and as John was talking about. You know, all of you have, don't you, a fabulous client or two or three really brilliant clients. I mean, they stick out like a sore thumb. They are the ones that pay you the most. You can't keep handling lots and lots of those because it will just kill you. So you need to work out what you can handle. Now, if you turn to page 36, I want you to help Jake and Tarquin, and really no more than, I don't know, 5 or so minutes on this, because it's not complicated. You've got the fees. Work out what their minimum fees have to be. Work out how many clients they can handle, what their basic fixed costs are, and work out what their minimum fees have to be. Go. And stop. Let's see how close you got to each other using reasonably similar information. Your maximum number of clients and therefore your minimum fee. Let's see where you got with that. This table. Maximum number of clients, Stuart, and minimum fee. 140 number of clients.
And minimum fee, 2,000 per annum.
Per annum, okay. I don't know how you got there. I just want to see how close you are to each other.
150.
2,333.
2,333
per annum.
1,333
if you wanted to.
Now we've run out of time. The clocks run out.
Andy, maximum number of clients and minimum fee per annum.
The maximum number of clients, because Jake's going to work, he's a gym monkey, full out, 132 clients, and Tarquin is doing his 4-day week, see his children, is needing 88 clients.
Okay. Minimum fee per client?
Minimum fee, first draft was 1650, and then we were arguing about
what we should raise it to.
Right, I'm just looking at minimum. Minimum fee to break even?
1650
per client. Okay. Interesting.
100 clients each.
100 clients each.
And 1,200 per client, standing order £100 per month minimum.
Sorry, 1,200 per month? Oh, I see. 1,200 on a month. Yes. All right, so this was
2,000 per client.
Minimum.
140
clients total or each?
Total,
between the two of them. Okay, and yours was per advisor, or was that total number of clients?
Total
150 between. Okay. And what was your total number of clients? And Andy, what was your total number of clients?
240.
That's between the two of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, 240. And total number of clients for you?
200.
200 between the two of them. Oh, that's interesting. So this team felt that the two of them really could handle no more than about 140 clients. And this team felt that actually, what a lazy bunch so-and-so they are, and we could handle between two of them, even working a four-day week, we can handle 240 clients.
Well, there's two of them.
Yeah. They felt 140.
We just reduced our minimum fee to 1270, as Arthur's just worked it out in his calculator.
Is that right? Okay. This is interesting. Now, what's really interesting about this is, in all seriousness, and putting this into real life, one of these companies is going to be in trouble. And it may be what seems obvious, it may not be, it may be the other team that will get into trouble. But one of you is going to be in trouble. You'll either kill yourself and find that the minimum fee is just not worth what you're delivering. So you can see how easy it is for a financial advisor to get into trouble here. Get the same basic figures, they're in Reading, it's not going to be wildly different. Support staff, you know, not huge, you're not going to pay 80,000 for a paraplanner. So you can get yourself into a lot of trouble not doing this work. And I bet most of you coming into this room have not done a lot of this work. In my mentor's language, this is amateur. When I started doing this for my business, he said, well, you start there, David, but it's a bit amateurish, mate. What do you mean amateur? Not an amateur. He said, that's where you start. And the reason he said that was because it is minimum. These are the minimum figures. And you don't want to live on the minimum. You need to be working to what your real value is, which is way above the minimum. So you need to get the minimum right. You need to do your costings for your business, and you need to do it accurately. Otherwise, you will get yourself into trouble. And what will be the problem that you'll create if you get this wrong? What will be the result in the business?
You can under-trade or over-trade, aren't you?
Yeah.
Well, I think both of those.
You're either under-trade.
Out of business, because one's over-trade and one's under-trade.
Yeah. And you'll either get to a stage where you're running like fury to win new clients to cover the unprofitability of existing clients. Does that make sense? So you're running like crazy, busting a gut to win new clients to cover the lack of profitability, and you're not quite sure why you're having to do that. Or you might be under trading and there's just not enough going on to grow the business. So this is why most of your peer group can't hack it. This is why they're still flummoxing around with product commissions, because they just don't know how to deal with it otherwise. Because this is hard work. And the very fact that you're doing this exercise just puts you at a different level of advisor. Because you think differently. It's crazy. Coming to the room at 10 o'clock and leave at 4:30 thinking like a new advisor. And that's where you are, just because you're thinking like it. Couple of points on price, let's move on. Look at the bottom, page 36. Going back, I think maybe your point, John, or maybe in Fred's, you know, we charge an X percent of this, and you know what? It really doesn't matter. I know there are easier ways to charge and more difficult ways to charge. As long as you got your minimum right, get it wrong, you're in trouble. As long as you got your minimum right, it doesn't matter where the money comes from. But what you need to be able to do is to say, our minimum fee is X, we'll charge you 0.75 as long as it covers the minimum fee. And if it doesn't, what then?
Charge an amount.
Yeah, charge and balance. It's not complicated. Doesn't it equal charge and balance? Simple, clear, consistent. Final thing about, John, your question, and all of you need to watch this problem. Who here has about three or four clients who stick out above the rest as being delivering masses more revenue to your business than anybody else? Anybody have that? What's the danger with that kind of client?
They die or they go away somehow.
Okay, yeah. What is the other danger whilst they're there?
They might find out that they pay more than everyone else.
Yeah, either they find out they pay more than everybody else. They should know.
They don't know, do they? Because if you're charging funds under management, you're dealing with them, so you're dealing with someone else you've met, they don't know that they've got more than the other chap, do they?
No, but they know how much they're paying for them. They don't mind the level of money they're paying them.
But remember, your structure needs to be simple, very clear and consistent. So they should know where they sit.
The only problem with big clients is that the bigger the client, and if you fall out with them, the more hassle they'll probably give you.
Yeah.
The other worry, I think.
Particularly corporate, where it only takes a change at the top, doesn't it? And
yes.
Suddenly you're under the door, aren't you?
Yeah. Does anybody have any big clients that really suck up a lot of time? They just do, because that's what, yeah. Yeah. So you need to be very careful, and this is again why segmentation can become very useful. If you can see them coming over the hill, and they're going to create a lot of revenue, you think, blimey. What you don't want to do, here's the danger of this, is make up services as you go along for your big clients, because they... There's a lot of money, I better deliver more, I better give them more time. No, you don't, no. Not unless it's in the service structure.
Arguably, David, they should pay more, because if they complain that something's gone wrong, because markets go down or whatever, and they win, it's going to cost more money anyway, so you probably should have more money.
Yeah, normally, you're right, Craig, and normally, the more money that's flowing in, normally the more complex the situation is, and therefore normally the higher the risk. That's normal. There's lots of exceptions, but usually bigger cases carry higher risk to you as an advisor. Therefore, the Blue Wall should pay more for causing you higher risk, for which you can get sued, and often, therefore, your PI cover goes up. But just watch the big clients. What am I trying to say? Make sure that you don't make up stuff for them as you go along because you're scared of losing them. Yep. Your service is your service. And they'll get what you deliver. Don't run around scurrying just because they're big clients. I don't mean ignore them, but create a service for them and let them sit in that service category. The danger is they suck you and drag you all over the place, and they become the leaders of your business. You need to stay in charge of your business, not them. Deliver what they want, but you're the business leader, not them. Don't let them run your business for you. And that often happens with big, costly clients.
Dave, I think we've probably got a number of clients that we've had a business for 35 years that have grown up with us, and they don't know what we're earning from the trail commission.
Yes.
Some of the products won't have any trail evaluation commission, and they might. So in this new, brave new era when we're saying we want a fee of X for the process, then to turn around and suddenly tell Bernard that he's paying us $3,330 a year.
After 10 years of not doing that,
yeah,
is a tough one. Which is...
Just on rock the boat, you might think, oh, fucking hell, what are you paying?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I mean, it's a problem you're all facing in that you all have clients who've been with you legacy time and you know, you just don't do what you really ought to be doing with them because they've been there and they're probably quite healthy and they deliver some good revenue and they just don't fit anywhere. And that's why later on in the appendix it says, practice your fees on your new clients first until you become so confident at both magnetising and attracting quality new clients that you're no longer frightened of facing. And then it goes through step by step, and here's how you talk to existing clients, here's how you do it, here's what you mustn't do, and here's what you must do to deal with new clients. So it's in the appendix, step by step, here's how you deal with existing clients. It's also in some of the latter pages of the workbook. And I want you to read that, and I'm very happy to talk with you one-on-one on that. But yeah, dealing with existing clients is toughest. Don't practice on existing clients. However, I would suggest this. Here's a good thing to do. As you are starting to form your new service and your new fee structure, involve your clients in helping to design the new service. Pick two or three that are very close to you, and before you start naming fees, it's always interesting and very, very useful indeed to get them to help you design the new service. I've done that with two or three people on the advisor gym. I said, well, supposing we did this and supposing we did that, I have a bit more of that and a bit less of that. So if you're designing a new service, which you will be, try and get two or three key clients to get involved in the design. Don't have to put a fee to it yet, but get them to buy into the design. Why would that be useful to you?
Because you'll get a good idea how they feel about it.
Yeah.
So it might make your job easier when you actually approach them with the new feature.
Yeah. I know that sounds a bit glib, but that is how I designed my first real marketing strategy, by getting three managing directors who were real nasty. One of them was a real nasty piece of work. I mean, he's a really unpleasant human being. I was so scared. Well, I didn't know him that well, and you know some clients very well, and they would treat you better. I just went down and said, I designed this new service, and I kind of think it looks like this. I've written it down. What do you think? And he sat there at his desk, and I sat here with a little briefcase like this and a little suit on, and he turned his back on me and started ripping my brochure in pieces. Just went rip. All right, okay. Guess he doesn't like it. Rip. He said, I've scribbled a few notes here. If you just do this and do this, there you go, here's your brochure. I said, so what are you asking me to do? He said, well, look at my notes and rewrite it and send me a copy and I'll tell you what I think. So I did. And he said, it's kind of all right. Make a few more notes, send it back to me by fax. No emails in those days. And then I produced the finished brochure. Guess who was the first client to big time buy into my new service, who before wouldn't even give me the time of day? Sent me more clients than I could handle. Amazing. He was managing director of a recruitment consultancy, had about 6 branches across the country, and recruited lots and lots of IT consultants for the freelance market. I earned a fortune from that company. He bought into my service because it was his brochure. So how could he say, I don't like your brochure? He just wrote it. So pick two or three, help them design your new service, work with them, and they'll be on your side. Don't talk about fees at that stage, just get them to design the service. Think about that. Who could design your service better than them? This is what they want. Think about it. Okay, where are we? A couple of points there on page 37 now. Question in the centre. What do I mean by market magnetism? Ian, what do you think I mean by market magnetism at the top?
Creating something that inevitably brings people towards
you. Okay, so if the question is what factors will help me attract surprising fees, and the answer is, well, one of them is market magnetism, why does people coming to you, what's that got to do with the level of fees you can charge? If they're magnetised towards you, what's that got to do with the level of fees you can charge?
Well, I'd say if they're inevitably drawn towards you,
you
should better charge them.
Yeah. If you're banging down my door because you want to enter the advisor gym, I have to tell you, fees become a secondary issue. But if you're banging down their door, whatever the sales process, fees become quite important. So your job as a business leader is to ask this question: how do I develop market magnetism? How do I attract people to me rather than me go banging down doors? I'm just going to take that point and ask you to, as a team, study page 39 and then answer for Jake and Tarquin page 40. Have a look at page 39, which is just about market magnetism. Read it together as a team and then give Jake and Tarquin some ideas about how they can make people gravitate to them so that fees become a lesser issue. Does that make sense as a question? Yeah. You okay with that question? Yeah. So Jake and Tarquin have a problem. They want to attract people to them rather than chasing people around the country, knocking their doors down, interrupting their day, because it's much easier to charge a higher fee if they're coming to you. So some clues there on 39 as to how Jake and Tarquin might be able to do that. I want you to study that as a team, work out what you think I'm saying there, and then give Jake and Tarquin some ideas on page 40. Okay. Clearly we're going to cover all this in the marketing workshops in great detail, but give us some ideas. Alright, let's see how far you've got. Let's see what your agile, fresh, creative brains have come up with for poor old Jake and Tarquin to give them a life and attract clients at the fees they want to attract. So how are you going to magnetise people towards them? Come on in, Arthur, your table first.
Well, working a business strategy, we obviously know which direction they're going to be going in, which in our case, we're attacking the gyms.
Attacking the gyms, what exactly do you mean by that?
Marketing to the gyms.
Okay,
that's where our clients are coming from, remember, or we are suggesting. What's the name, Jake and Tarquin's?
Yeah.
Clients are going to come from.
So you're looking for a gym membership.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's your distribution channel.
Yes, it is.
Your route to market is the gyms.
Yes.
Very good.
So all these.
I learnt it somewhere. You know.
So all these. Things around here.
Yes.
Six of them have all got to do with marketing.
Yep.
Creating networking, creating alliances, speaking and teaching, attracting attention, newsletters, all these things are marketing. So one of the suggestions that we're going to make to Tarquin is that they employ either a full-time marketeer or a consultancy that they can use on a regular basis to achieve all these different things.
Do you know any good marketing consultants, Dave?
No, mate. I don't know anybody who knows anything about this stuff. So you're not going to do that for them. You're not going to.
If they want us to do it, we have a marketing director here who is first class.
So
but
what
we are saying that they need somebody to do that for them rather than themselves.
Okay. So what would you suggest, Charlotte? Would be the tactics there.
We've got quite a few, really. We're thinking.
Just give me top three.
Website-based, aren't they? So we're thinking blogging on websites, the whole Twitter, Facebook type of thing.
Okay.
Website design. Got to have a website that is really attractive to people so that it kind of ties in with what they want to see and what, obviously, you're going to offer as well.
So how would you get your traffic to your website from the gyms?
Well, newsletters. This is the next thing to kind of follow on. So
Having
newsletters that will be at the gym, they're going to be advertised in changing rooms and placing on your entrance, which will have all of the contact details and the website as well. So it will kind of follow on one to the other as such.
One more thing. Anything else?
Yeah, we're going to do a survey, weren't we? Of gym members. And if
they survey?
Return the survey.
What do you want to do a survey for? Sorry.
Just to make sure that we know what they want. And we're going to give them a 1-1-A singlet and many moustaches. They return the survey. And a headband.
Yeah.
And that's only for the men. Now, what were you going to give the young girls?
I can't possibly say.
Thank you. Excellent.